my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. We are going to continue with the concept that we did in our previous teaching about Him, Yahweh, increasing and us decreasing. And we can talk about humility and pride when it comes to this, because it's our human fleshly desire to become more. The world teaches us to become more, where the scriptures teaches us to show us to become less and let the glory of our Creator to become more. So there's this spiritual battle that's consistently taking place. And we could say the world, but it's really the enemy that rules the world of the fleshly desires. And it's hard because we got to go against our flesh and to submit to our Creator and what He wanted for us. And if we do that long enough, our flesh changes. We become transformed, but we don't just struggle with letting Him become more and us become less, but we actually enjoy it and seek that. And that's the goal we need to have. So I want you all to really think about this. He must increase while I decrease should be on our heart every day. See, worldly, we think, what can I do to better myself today? When we should be thinking, what can I do to glorify my Creator more today? That's the thinking. Yes, we want to be better than we were yesterday, but for what and who what? Not for us to become famous or popular. No. You know, if we want to become closer to our Creator, better in our relationship with Him, have more fellowship with Him, we become less, He becomes more. And we've been looking at this, and we see two important truths when it comes to this topic. Spiritually mature means Messiah increases while we decrease. And our Creator's greatest power is displayed through humble, dependent people. That's it. Those are the two things. But now comes the practical question. How do we actually live this way every day? How do we do that? Humility is just not an attitude. It becomes a lifestyle. It changes the way we serve, the way we receive praise, the way we respond to criticism, and the way we finish our race. Humility is the opposite of pride, and Scripture always talks about pride being the downfall of people. The enemy wants us to be prideful people. When we understand the opposition that's taking place, then we realize we have a choice to decide. And I am telling you, our greatest desire should be the glory of our wonderful Creator. Yes, everything in creation exists for one purpose, and that is to glorify Yahweh. The enemy will tell us to build our own kingdom, but we were not created to build our own kingdom. We were created to build His. Let's look at scriptures. Isaiah 43 verses 6 and 7 says, "Bring my sons far, far away, and my daughters far from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Notice why we exist. Not for our glory, not for our reputation. We were created for His glory. Every decision should be filtered through one question. Will this bring glory to Yahweh? That's it. Ask yourself this. When you make a decision, if you have that in mind, it's so powerful. Will this bring glory to Yahweh? And if it is, yes, we should be satisfied with this, not trying to tweak things up or or change things so we can get some glory or we can get some recognition? No, but will what's happening bring glory to him? And if the answer is yes, then it's right in line with what he wants us to be doing. And if the answer is no, we have to rethink our decisions. And it shouldn't just be a little or some. It should be fully. Will this glorify him? So when we act a certain way and think a certain way, what is the outcome of that? How we talk to people and how we respond to people. How we act when we're upset. You know, is this bringing glory to him? So we need to get away from this prideful thinking and this fleshly thinking of the world and learn to serve without the recognition. You know, one of the greatest tests of humility is serving when nobody notices. I remember years ago, this one episode of the show called Seinfeld was the guy George would always give tips, but he would never give tips when they weren't looking because he wanted them to see him giving a tip. You know, when I give money to a church, I don't fill out my name and my number and all this stuff. Some people do that for the tax write-off, and if it's a significant amount, that's not a bad thing. But I don't want any favor or anything. I want to give in private. You know, so think about this. Because it's easy to serve when you get recognized and applauded for this serving and everything else, but it feeds the pride. The mature believer serves even when nobody says thank you. We don't know who's watching, but we know Yahweh's watching. And Yeshua taught this very principle in Luke 17, verse 7 to 10. Now, which one of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he comes in from the field, come at once and recline at the table? Instead, won't he tell him, prepare my dinner and dress yourself to serve me until I have eaten and drank. And afterward, you may eat and drink. He doesn't thank the servant because he did what was commanded, does he? So you also, when you have done everything commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what we ought to have done. That attitude is almost completely opposite of our culture. Today, people often ask, who appreciated me? Yeshua teaches us to ask, who is faithful, or was I faithful? Faithfulness is more important than recognition. That's it. That's what I'm explaining to everyone here. So we need to be careful when we get all this praise from people. We need to be careful because it easily fills our pride, us thinking we're the best or better. Now, it's one thing to be confident, but if it's driven by people's praise, that's a problem. I mean, you'd rather get good reports than bad reports. Praise in itself is not bad, but when you use that to build you up and lift you up, that's a problem. There's nothing wrong with encouragement. But if praise feeds our pride, then it's an issue. Harold accepted praise that belonged to Yahweh. The result was immediate. Look at Acts 12, 21 to 23. On an appointed day, Harold, dressed in royal robes and seated in the judgment seat, began giving a speech to them. The people kept shouting, "The voice of God and not of man." Immediately, an angel of Yahweh struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and died. Yahweh takes his glory seriously. Whenever people compliment us, our hearts should quickly respond, "Yahweh, thank you. Without you, I could be nothing." You know, so we often see other people succeed and we get jealous or something. And all of this jealousy and pride and all of this stuff is not of Yah. We need to learn to rejoice when others succeed. You know, like we saw in the previous teaching about John the Baptist, he wasn't trying to compete with Yeshua. He was happy to be less so Yeshua could be more. Nothing, folks, exposes pride faster than another person's success. Can we genuinely rejoice when Yahweh blesses somebody? And Paul gives a beautiful instruction. In Romans 12, 15 to 16, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own eyes. If another ministry grows, praise our wonderful Creator. Hallelujah. Good for them. If someone else receives recognition, hallelujah. Praise ya. The kingdom is not a competition. We are all serving the same King. Remember that, folks. Remember that. One of the hardest lessons is allowing Yahweh to defend us. Let it be up to Him. Because our flesh wants to explain and justify and argue and protect our image. Yet Scripture repeatedly teaches us how to trust Yahweh. We look at 1 Peter 2:21 to 23. For this you were called, because Messiah also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow his footsteps. He committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return the abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but kept entrusting himself to the one who judges justly. Notice what Yeshua did. He trusted the Father. Sometimes the greatest display of faith is remaining silent and letting Yahweh defend your choice. God exalts the humble. Many people try to promote themselves. Many people want to seek for the highest position. But Yahweh has a position for you, and He will give it to you if you trust Him. We don't need to do the promoting. We don't need to do the talking. We need to let Yahweh set the pieces and put everything in place. Yahweh says, let me do the promoting. You want to be the best world's best influencer. You want to be the world's best speaker, the world's best preacher, and everything else. Be faithful to Yahweh and be humble towards others. Seek the glory of Yahweh in all you do, and it will fall right into place. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6 says, likewise, you younger ones, submit yourselves to the elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because Yahweh opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of Yahweh, so that He may lift you up at the appropriate time. His order and His timing. That's what we teach here at Torah Life Ministries. Submitting to His will. Understanding His order and not taking things out of order and being patient for His timing. You know, not when we demand it, not when we expect it, at the proper time, at Yahweh's time. If Yahweh wants you to have a more popular ministry and a bigger influencing people, a bigger channel, more views, more people, He can open that door if He wants you hidden. There is a blessing there also. Our responsibility is obedience. The promotion of us belongs to our Creator. Remember, in the Scriptures, the disciples often argued about who was the greatest, and Yeshua completely changed their thinking. In Mark 10, 42 to 45, calling them together, Yeshua said to them, you know that those recognized as rulers of the nations lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be this way among you. Instead, whoever wants to be the greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you shall slave of all. Shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Greatness in the kingdom is measured differently. Not by how many people serve you, but how many people you serve. Humility and joy. Paul never measured success by popularity in the scriptures. He measured success by faithfulness. Near the end of his life, he wrote in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness is stored up for me, which the Lord of is the righteous judge will always be on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have eagerly awaited his appearing. Notice what Paul celebrated. Not the churches he planted or the miracles performed. Not the popularity. He celebrated faithfulness. That should be our goal. Ask yourself each day, is my life pointing people towards Messiah? Am I serving even when unnoticed? Am I content when someone else receives praise? Am I depending on Yahweh's strength instead of my own? Would I still obey if nobody ever recognized my work? These are questions of spiritual maturity. And we look at this final prayer. John the Baptist gave us one sentence that summarizes the believer's life. In John 3, verse 30, it says, He must increase while I must decrease. This should become our daily prayer. Lord, make me smaller. Make Messiah greater. Help me seek your glory instead of mine. Let people remember Yeshua more than they remember me. Imagine what would happen if every believer lived this way. There would be less jealousy and offense and pride and division, less competition. There would be more love and more unity and more dependence on our Creator and more glory given to Yeshua. That is true revival. It begins when we stop asking, how can God use me to make my name great? And start asking, how can God use me so the name of Yeshua is lifted higher? Hallelujah. Jeremiah 9:23-24 says, Thus says Yahweh, Let not the wise boast in his wisdom, nor the mighty boast in his might, nor the rich boast in his riches, but let one who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Yahweh who exercises love, kindness, righteousness, and justice on the earth. For in these things I delight. It is a declaration of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At the end of our lives, people may forget our sermons or accomplishments or titles. Even our names, perhaps. But if they leave seeing Messiah more clearly, then we have succeeded. May our hearts echo the words of John the Immerser. Every day, he must increase while I must decrease. That is the only path to humility. It is the path to true spiritual maturity, lasting faithfulness, and a life that brings glory to Yahweh alone. He must increase. I must decrease. So thinking about this, thinking about the spiritual pride is the opposite of the humility. And it's a consistent battle that's going on. You see, a person can be devoted to Scripture, faithful in prayer, obedient to Yahweh's commandments, and active in the ministry, and still have a heart filled with pride. The closer we draw to our Creator, the more carefully we must guard our hearts. Pride is dangerous because it often grows unnoticed. It was the first sin that we saw before there was sin on earth. There was pride in heaven. Lucifer desired glory that belonged to Yahweh. Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 15. How you have fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. You have been cut down to the ground, you who made the nations prostrate. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of meeting. I will ascend above the high clouds. I will make myself like Elyon. Yet you are brought down to the Sheol, the uttermost depths of the pit. Notice how many times he said, I. Pride always puts self at the center. Humility puts Yahweh at the center. We must watch out for this, the creeping of the pride. See, most people assumes that pride comes from wealth or success. But the scripture shows us that pride can come through spiritual blessings. A person can become proud of their Bible knowledge and their obedience. And if they have a big ministry and their prayer life, years of serving our Creator, being more biblical than others, these things are gifts from Yahweh. Yes, indeed. When we take pride in them, we begin taking credit for what only Yahweh has produced. We need to be careful with that. We need to understand the enemy is going to work in different ways to make us think different things. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says, for who makes you different from anyone else? And what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you had not received it? Everything we possess has been given by our wonderful Creator. Our knowledge, our gifts, our opportunities, our understanding, everything. That leaves no room for boasting. Yeshua told one of his strongest parables about spiritual pride in Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. Now he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and looked down on everyone else. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. The Pharisee listened to all his accomplishments. He fasted, he tithed, he was outwardly obedient, yet his heart was lifted up. The tax collector prayed differently. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Yeshua concluded, I tell you, this man went home justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. You get it? Yes, the scriptures say my people destroyed for lack of knowledge, but with knowledge comes a great responsibility not to become prideful for that. We should study diligently and build up our knowledge, but knowledge without love produces pride. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 1 says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds. It is possible to win every thought or argument or discussion about the Bible and lose the heart of Messiah. Truth must always be joined with humility. And the more we learn, the more we should realize how much we still have to learn. If anyone comes and ever says they know everything, they don't know anything. And we also got to be careful with comparing ourselves to others. And be careful with these types of situations. Never compare yourself to others. Comparison feeds pride. Sometimes we compare ourselves to people we know less. Or who are less mature. Who have struggles with sins and struggle overcoming them. But scripture warns us against this. And I'm warning you today. Reminding you. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, for we dare not classify or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves. They have no understanding. The only comparison that matters is, am I becoming more like Messiah? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! When we talk about humility, we look at the most humble man in all of Scripture. We look at Moses. Despite leading Israel and speaking with our Creator, performing miracles, Moses remained humble. In Numbers 12, verse 3, "Now, the man Moses was very humble, more so than anyone on the face of the earth." You see, true humility is not thinking less of Yahweh's calling. It's recognizing that everything we accomplish comes from Him. Yahweh has always desired His people to be humble. In Micah 6, verse 8, it says, "He has told you, humility, what is good, and what Yahweh is seeking from you, only to practice justice, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your Creator." Notice our Creator doesn't simply ask for humility occasionally. He asks us to walk in it every single day. Every single day. And thanks to the scriptures, we can see where our life is, but there's other ways to know if our pride may be getting in the way or getting an issue. Ask yourself some of these questions. Do you become offended easily? Or do you always need to be right? Are you quick to correct others but slow to examine yourself? Do you secretly enjoy being viewed as spiritually mature? These are questions that expose the condition in our hearts. Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Many great servants of Yahweh have fallen, not because they lacked knowledge, but because they stopped walking in humility. The greatest protection against pride that we have is keeping our eyes on Messiah. And the closer we become to Him, the more we see His holiness, and the more aware we become of our need for grace. That's what we need to remember. And David understood this, that the heart can be deceived. He prayed in Psalms 139, verse 23 to 24, "Search me, O Yahweh, and know my heart. Examine me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way within me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." That should become our daily prayer. Not, "Lord, show me everyone else's pride," but, "Lord, show me mine." Hallelujah. Spiritual pride is one of the enemy's most subtle weapons, and it can truly destroy us. It can hide behind sound doctrine and biblical knowledge and obedience. The safest believer is not the one who thinks he has arrived. It's the one who continually kneels before Yahweh and says, "Without you, I am nothing." We close with James 4:10 that says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and He shall lift you up. He must increase while I decrease." Have a blessed day, brothers and sisters, and shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503 Lake Worth, Florida 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life
Ministry. Need a home repair or home renovation? John Nelson Services is a locally owned family business for over 24 years, specializing in high quality repairs and renovations that last. Done right the first time with complete peace of mind guaranteed. We can be reached at 772-285-5828.
Your hair is a very important part of your daily routine. Nick and Robin, owners of NR Salon, are seasoned full-service hairstylists, serving clients for over 20 years. Nick and Robin are working out of Miracle on 34th Street, 1320 Southwest 34th Street, Palm City. They can be reached at 772-283-4974.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.